This is a podcast from the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C., a private, nonpartisan organization committed to independent research and innovative policy solutions. For more, including reports, commentary, analysis, and audiovisual materials, visit us at www.brookings.edu.
He comes into office, and on the second or third day in office, he announces that he's going to close Guantanamo without any kind of a coherent plan for what they're going to do.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at the issues behind the news and the experts at the Brookings Institution. This week, Guantanamo Bay.
Just 2 days after his inauguration, President Obama signed an executive order mandating that the Guantanamo Bay Detention Center would be closed in a year's time. To date, the facility remains open with nearly 200 inmates locked in its cells. There's no clear-cut plan for when and how to shutter the controversial detention center, and that's with good reason, says Governance Studies Senior Fellow Benjamin Wittitz, who calls Guantanamo Bay a complicated issue with no easy solutions.
This whole Guantanamo Bay issue, the detainees, where they're going to be held, where they're going to be tried, is coming to a head. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it is coming to a head. The administration took the view in the fall that it was going to bring a bunch of the highest value detainees to New York for trial, partly because they underestimated the issue and partly because they didn't actually get it done. They gave the opposition to that decision a lot of time to mobilize. And the result is that the political opposition to it is now such that they actually can't really do it anymore. And so they have a big problem in terms of how do you figure out what to do now, what's the next step in terms of putting certain people on trial. And that's become tangled up in a way that's very destructive from their point of view with the question of what do you do with the detainees that you're not going to try and you're also not going to set free? So there's a lot of resistance to their plan to bring these people to Thompson in Illinois. And so you have that group of people is now a big problem as well. And then finally, you have the fact that they've suspended repatriations to Yemen. And so there's a group of people whom they would like under ideal circumstances to release, whom they actually now can't get rid of either.
Well, Ben, you've said that President Obama underestimated this issue. How could that be?
It is very easy to caricature what they're doing as either, you know, reverting to a, you know, dangerous, myopic law enforcement paradigm for terrorism or, you know, taking undue risks with, Mirandizing terrorists, right? It's very easy to sort of cram it into that box and caricature it that way. When you're faced with a situation like Abdulmutallab or, you know, somebody who you might want to release from Guantanamo, but there may be some risk associated with releasing, that's not an electorally favorable situation. And similarly, it's very easy to look at somebody like Abdulmutallab and say, treat him as an enemy combatant, don't give him a lawyer. And, you know, whatever the merits of that, that's something that, you know, probably plays well in an electoral context.
In January, Ben, you wrote a paper on the habeas aspect of Guantanamo Bay dealing with these detainees. If nothing's done more proactively by the administration, what's next? How do we move forward?
The paper that you refer to was a study of the cases that have come out so far, and what it showed was that the different judges, both at the district court level and at the appeals court level, have, you know, really dramatically different views of all aspects of these cases, from what the procedures that detainees should have access to look like, to what kind of information is and isn't admissible in these cases, to what the substantive standard for detention is. What do you have to prove about somebody in order to justify their detention? In the absence of some significant meeting of the minds between the administration and the legislature, I think that process will continue to be the principal vehicle for deciding what to do with people. And that's a somewhat alarming idea if you believe that these are, basically decisions that the political branches should have a lot to say about, and that we should sort of as a society make kind of deliberative decisions about, whom we want to hold and under what circumstances in these cases.
Ben, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
And if you'd like to read more about this topic, please visit our website at www.brookings.edu. I'm Gigi Hinton.
At Brookings is produced by the Brookings Institution. To learn more about the issues discussed on At Brookings, visit our website at brookings.edu.